Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Resiliency Center to host seminar supporting first responders by Michael Bauer. The Odessa and Midland communities continue to rebuild after the horrors of the August 31st, 2019 shooting that left 7 people killed and 25 others injured. To help first responders cope after being traumatized by the events from that day, the Family Resiliency Center of the Permian Basin, in partnership with the Bill Blackwood Law Enforcement Management Institute of Texas, LEMIT, we'll be hosting a 3-day post-critical incident seminar that will be held at Stonegate Fellowship in Midland. According to Family Resiliency Center Coordinator Chandra Coleman, the event is being offered to support law enforcement and fire and rescue personnel and those who work in telecommunications. The seminar will be held from March 25th through 27th and will be offered at no cost to those who attend. It's designed to help the first responders and their spouses cope and to come along with other first responders to help with the healing process, Coleman said. The Bill Blackwood Law Enforcement Management of Texas is a grant-funded program based out of Huntsville at Sam Houston State University. They've traveled to different areas of Texas to provide this seminar, Coleman said. The Family Resiliency Center is the local host. We're helping them get here and secure the location, and they actually come with peers. It's with other first responders who have experienced a critical incident, and they come for 3 days with our local folks to help process and heal from the experiences they've had. Among the things they will do at the seminar is talk through their experiences. For some of them, Coleman says this is the first time that they've been able to do that in a safe environment. They talk about different therapeutic techniques for those who have experienced a critical incident, Coleman said. They talk about the emotional recovery, and then they hear from peers and other professionals, like things that have helped them process through their own experiences. It's really about coping and resiliency and coming through something like that together. One of the things that Coleman wants to stress is that it's for a variety of people who work in law enforcement and with first responders. That's the thing. Our first responders include everyone from the communications dispatchers, like 911 dispatchers, firefighters, EMS, and city, county, and state law enforcement, Coleman said. It's an opportunity for them to process through their experience. Folks in law enforcement tend to have the impression that they should be resilient on their own, and sometimes we forget that they are people, just like all of us are. She also wants people to know that spouses of first responders have also been affected by the event from 2019. This particular seminar is geared toward first responders and their spouses, and that's the key point, Coleman said. Spouses are included because they're a part of it. They live with the constant fear that their husband or wife won't walk through the door at the end of their shift. We want to make sure they're taken care of, too. Registration details can be found on the Family Resiliency Center's Facebook page at www.facebook.com/FRCOFTHEPB. For more information on ways to be involved or to donate for the event, contact the Family Resiliency Center at 432-848-6944. Government set to open PECOS facility. The Office of Refugee Resettlement announced Saturday it has activated Target Lodge PECOS North for unaccompanied minor children. A news release said Target Lodge PECOS North ICF will be used when the site is ready to safely receive children. children age 17 and under who are unaccompanied by parents or other legal guardians and who have no lawful immigration status in the United States, unaccompanied children, and apprehended by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, DHS, are transferred to the care and custody of the HHS Office of Refugee Resettlement, ORR. ORR is legally required to provide for the care and custody of all unaccompanied children, UC, referred to ORR, until they are unified with an appropriate sponsor, usually a parent or relative, while their immigration cases proceed, a statement from the department said. It adds that while the Office of Refugee Resettlement has worked to build up its licensed bed capacity to almost 13,500 beds, additional capacity is urgently needed to manage both enhanced COVID-19 mitigation strategies and the increasing numbers of UC referrals from DHS. To support this effort, HHS will activate the Target Lodge Pecos North property as Influx Care Facility, ICF, for UC. The statement says Target Lodge Pecos North will initially accommodate 500 children in hard-sided structures with the potential to expand to 2,000. Additional semi-permanent soft-sided capacity may be added if necessary, though ORR will always prioritize placing children in hard-sided structures over semi-permanent structures. ORR is committed to holding ICFs to the same or higher standards as state-licensed facilities. According to the release, the Influx Care Facility is meant to help ensure children are moved into the Office of Refugee Resettlement Shelters, where children receive educational, medical, mental health, and recreational services until they can be unified with families or sponsors without undue delay. In the short term, the release said, ORR is working to ensure children don't spend more time in Border Patrol facilities than necessary by safely increasing capacity in its permanent licensed network by implementing enhanced CDC COVID-19 mitigation strategies, by safely reducing the time it takes to unify UC with a sponsor, by using Influx Care facilities with the same standards of care used in its permanent licensed network, and by establishing emergency intake sites to decrease overcrowding in customs and border patrol facilities. Quick hits. Town hall. U.S. Representative August Pfluger has scheduled a town hall at 5:30 p.m. Monday at the Bush Convention Center, 105 North Main Street in Midland. The meeting is open to the public. For more information, call on-site contact Corbett Padilla at 432-687-2390. Early voting. Early voting begins April 19th to April 26th for the Ector County Independent School District and the Ector County Hospital District. Voting hours are from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., April 19th through 23rd, and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., April 26th and 27th, at the Ector County Courthouse Annex, Room 104, 1010 East 8th. If you are not a registered voter or if you need to update your address with the voter registrar, you have until April 1st to do so in person, or application must be postmarked April 1st. To register to vote, for sample ballots, or more information, visit www.co.ector.tx.us/page/ector.elections or www.sos.state.tx.us. Contact the elections office if you are unsure of your voting status at the Ector County Election Office, 1010 East 8th Street, or call 432-498-2000. 4030. Volunteers needed. Keep Odessa Beautiful is in need of volunteers for its We Care, We Help program that assists the elderly, disabled, veterans, and widows or widowers with free basic lawn care services. For more information or to become a volunteer, email kob@odessa-tx.gov. Obituaries for Sunday, March 21st. Linda Lou Schultz. Linda Lou Schultz, 68, of Odessa, passed away March 18th. Funeral services will be held at 3 p.m. Monday, March 22nd, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home Chapel, with burial to follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Linda was born December 27th, 1952, in Monahans, to Evelyn and Claudel Bud Wheeler. She is survived by her husband, Mark Schultz of Odessa, children Byron and Janet Cox of McKinney, Melanie and Joseph Gutierrez of San Antonio, and Heather and Cosme Ortega of Odessa. She is also survived by 7 grandchildren and a sister, Nan and Jim Yancey of Granbury. In lieu of flowers, the family asks for donations to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. Willie Daniel Will Donahue. Austin. Willie Will Donahue left his earthly home March 7th at the age of 77. He was born in Brownfield, October 2nd, 1943, to the late Frank and Mabel Donahue. He married Alma Jewel Walton in 1967. He is survived by his wife, Alma Walton Donahue, daughters Tara Donahue Barnacow and husband Carl, Carmen Donahue Wolf and husband Joe, 7 grandchildren, a brother, Morrison Donahue, and 2 sisters, Betty Ann Kirby and Joy Vestal. A celebration of life service will be held in April or May, and details will be posted on the family's Facebook pages soon. Charlene Joy Kemp Huffman. Charlene Huffman, 90, of Odessa, passed away Monday, March 15th at the Riverside Inn in Fort Worth. Services will be held Friday at 11 a.m. at the Roscoe Cemetery with the Reverend Otis Medley officiating. Interment will follow with services under the direction of Henderson Funeral Home of Santa Ana. She was born Charlene Joy Kemp, March 13, 1931, in Scurry County, to Charles A. and Joyce Wynette Clark Kemp, Sr. She married Edward Raymond Huffman, Sr. in 1946, and they celebrated 60 years of marriage until Edward preceded her in death in 2007. Survivors include her daughter, Joy, and husband, Michael Murray of Fort Worth, a granddaughter, a grandson, and several nieces and nephews. Charlene was preceded in death by her son, Ray Huffman, in 2019, and her sister, Lolene Gwinnett, in 2019. Joyce Christine Randall. Joyce Christine Randall passed away March 17th at her home in Gardendale. She was born in Black Gum, Oklahoma, July 8th, 1938, to Albie and Sylvia Matlock. She married Ray Randall in 1964. Joyce is survived by her husband, Ray, of Gardendale, her daughter, Debbie Murray, and husband, Mike, of Brooksmith, son, Monty Randall, of Gardendale, brother, Kirby Matlock, of Tulsa, Oklahoma, a son-in-law, Matt Flowers of Odessa, brother-in-law, Carl Tyler of Gardendale, 5 grandchildren, and 5 great-grandchildren. She was preceded in death by her parents, Albie and Sylvia Matlock of Tahlequah, Oklahoma, a brother, Leon Matlock of Bartlesville, Oklahoma, Gladys Crawford of Tahlequah, Oklahoma, her daughter, Lois Outlaw Flowers of Odessa, her twin sister, Lois Tyler of Gardendale. Viewing will be held Sunday, March 21st from 2 to 4 p.m. at Acres West Funeral Chapel in Odessa. Funeral services will be held Monday, March 22nd at 11 a.m. at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Death notices. Larry Wilson Ferris. Larry Wilson Ferris, 68, died Friday, March 19th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory. Guillermo Hernandez Leyva. Guillermo Hernandez Leyva, 70, died Thursday, March 18th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Sharon Mack, 59, died Friday, March 12th in Plano. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Michelle Catherine Mizzles. Michelle Catherine Mizzles, 61, of Midland, died Thursday, March 18th. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by American Heritage Funeral Home of Midland. Rufino Lujan Rodriguez. Rufino Lujan Rodriguez, 94, died Friday, March 19th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa. Stephen Paul Moped Mulfan. Stephen Paul Moped Mulfan, 64, of Odessa, died Saturday, March 13th. Memorial service is scheduled for 1 p.m. Saturday, March 27th at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Anastasio A. Tacho Ramos. Anastasio A. Tacho Ramos, 55, died Wednesday, March 17th in Odessa. Services are pending with Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Monday, March 22nd. Seliger gets look at migrant camp. Despite having his initial request to visit the emergency intake facility at the Colton Logistics Man Camp turned down, State Senator Kel Seliger got a look at it Saturday. The man camp is currently housing hundreds of unaccompanied minors who Seliger said are from Mexico, El Salvador, and Honduras, among other locales. Seliger said he was accompanied by some of his office staff, by Midland County District Attorney Laura Nodolf, and officials from the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. TCEQ has to permit the water system, and Seliger said they are working on that now. Quote, "I think the facility itself is adequate for what they're doing," Seliger said in a phone interview Sunday. Up until very recently, the man camp was housing oil field workers. Quote, "It looked clean and the living conditions looked like they were pretty good, far better than what these kids were probably accustomed to. There were 2 physicians there, one of whom was with the CDC, Centers for Disease Control. There were a couple more CDC people there, one from Washington and one from Atlanta," end quote. Quote, "The Federal Protective Service was there, and they were building a fence. They've got a full dispensary there where one of the physicians was," Seliger said. He added that the Red Cross was on hand, which was reassuring. Also being built was what Seliger thought might be some sort of multi-purpose facility, but that question wasn't answered. Quote, "I assume it's going to have exercise and recreational stuff there. They don't have a central eating facility there because of fear of infection, so they're pretty much delivering the food to the kids' rooms, which I guess is okay. They were using an unpermitted well for cooking and showering, and they were trucking in water, and they had some portable water tanks that have been inspected by the TCEQ, as well as the distribution system, so I think they'll get all of that done, Seliger said. His concerns are where the children will go from here, and how long will they be here. It was his understanding that the children wouldn't be held longer than 72 hours, but that doesn't appear to be the case. He said if they have paperwork showing where they are supposed to go, quote, why are the kids still there, and why are they not appearing before an immigration judge to move immediately, end quote. Quote, are some of those kids going to be there a year from now? That's the question that I have. At some point, resettlement or detention can almost become imprisonment, and that we must not do. One thing you just cannot get out of your mind, these are children, and they've already had it tough. Some of them, according to a physician, walked most of the way from El Salvador or Nicaragua, Seliger said. He said he has asked Attorney General Ken Paxton to file an injunction in federal court to stop the Office of Refugee Resettlement from sending more migrants until they answer key questions that he and other officials have. He said he also will encourage Governor Greg Abbott to ask that periodic inspections of the camp by the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Quote, TCEQ is going to show up there regularly, no matter what. They can't keep them out, as well the county environmental people. But if they're going to run this kind of facility in Midland, they're going to have to do it the way that everyone else would be required to do it if they're going to house large numbers of minors, Seliger said. He added that if the federal government wants contract and move people in, they can do it. Quote, the way they did it was completely, totally unacceptable and unnecessarily secretive, Seliger said. Seliger has a bill set that would have private property owners notify cities or counties if a detention facility is going to pop up. He said the living conditions for the children at the man camp are going to be far better than those 3,000 kids at the Dallas Convention Center because these are made to be living quarters, end quote. Quote, they showed us the single rooms and they showed us the double rooms and they're very small, but they have TVs and what appears to be adequate bathing facilities. I was reassured by that, and I think everybody was, Seliger said.
Death notices from the Odessa American, published Monday, March 22, 2021. Anastasio A. Tacho Ramos, Odessa. Anastasio A. Tacho Ramos, 55, of Odessa, died Wednesday, March 17, in Odessa. Celebration of life is scheduled for 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 24th at Martinez Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Odessa 2 section. Pastor Albert Flores and Brother Jesus Ramos are officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory in Odessa. Sean Christopher Davison, Odessa. Sean Christopher Davison, 36, of Odessa, died Saturday, March 20th in Odessa. Funeral service is scheduled for 10 a.m. March 23rd, Tuesday, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Ty Koch is officiating. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa.
To your good health. By Dr. Keith Roach. Don't wait to visit a specialist. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a 73-year-old male with continued pain in my right foot and ankle for the past 5 years. I try to stay active by golfing 2 days a week in season, and I walk 3 miles 4 times weekly around the neighborhood. The pain started about 5 years ago after a very active week of walking 5 days straight. My family doctor recommended I try some arch support inserts for my athletic and golf shoes, which I did try for 1 year. I stopped after that because they did not help. He also referred me to a foot doctor who I saw for 2 years. We tried a steroid shot and measured orthotics, but the pain continued. The foot doctor treated me for plantar fasciitis, and an x-ray indicated I may also have some arthritis. He recommended I massage the foot and plantar area, which does help. The third solution is surgery on the plantar fascia, or possibly on the joint with arthritis. I'm currently trying an over-the-counter gel for arthritis called Voltaren as a last resort before possible surgery. My questions are, what is your opinion of Voltaren and its success rate for my condition? And is there anything else I should consider before surgery? ML. Answer. Plantar fasciitis is a common cause of foot pain. Like you, many people will develop it after engaging in more activity than normal. Many runners get it. The pain is most often located at the bottom of the foot, just in front of the heel. The first step in the morning can be exquisitely tender. Treating plantar fasciitis aggressively when it first comes on with some basic interventions such as stretching, heel pads or cups, limitation of activity, and anti-inflammatories usually is effective. My experience is that when the symptoms have gone on a very long time, it takes a very long time to effectively treat. Early referral to a specialist is indicated for symptoms that do not promptly resolve.
Promising relationship falls victim to miscommunication. Dear Abby, 2 months ago I met a lady I will call Amber. We were instantly attracted to each other. The first date went well and we reached first base, kissing. On the second date, we reached second base, fondling. On the third date, which was also going well, after I finished paying the check for dinner, I asked her if she wanted to continue where we had left off. Amber said no. I was fine with it. Later that night, when we spoke over the phone, I pointed out nicely that she did not even say thank you for dinner, and Amber got offended. I decided to end things after that phone call. I felt she was being disrespectful of my feelings by not listening to what I was saying. Fast forward. Her birthday is in 2 weeks, and I don't know if I should bury the hatchet by dropping her a happy birthday text that day, because I really did overall like her. Signed, Brand New in New Jersey. Dear Brand New, Amber may have become offended when, after she declined to proceed with further intimacy, you told her she hadn't even thanked you for the dinner. When I read that line, for a moment I wondered if you equated the two and had expected that after buying her dinner, you were guaranteed sexual favors in return. The two of you have a significant communication deficit. Contact her again only if you are willing to acknowledge that fact and hope she is willing to work on it with you. Dear Abby, my husband and I recently found out we're expecting our first child. We have been married for 5 years, and while we are still fairly young, this has been a long time in coming. For both of our families, this will be the first grandchild. My brother is getting married next month. We live in a different state, but plan to fly home for the wedding. My husband says we cannot tell our families about the pregnancy on this trip because we don't want to overshadow the happy weekend with additional good news. This means we would need to tell them over the video chat, not in person, since going home for a second trip is not an option due to COVID. While I see his point and certainly don't want to overshadow the wedding, I don't see why we can't tell them a few days before the wedding so that it's in person and I won't have to answer a bunch of questions from close family about why I'm not drinking at the wedding. My brother's fiancé and I do not get along, and I'm not in the wedding party, if that makes a difference. Please advise. Anonymous, signed, Anonymous Mom-to-Be. Dear Mom-to-Be, I am voting with your husband. Do not upstage your brother and his bride-to-be, tempting as it may be. To do otherwise will take the spotlight off the happy couple and aim it directly at your belly. While this might seem like a welcome opportunity to stick your finger in the eye of the woman you dislike, keep in mind that in short time she will be family and impossible to avoid. The less friction, the better.
Horoscopes by Madeline Aslan. Happy birthday for Monday, March 22nd, 2021. Forthright, energetic, and impatient, there is no limit to what you can accomplish. This year, you will be active on multiple fronts, so remember to pace yourself and reserve quality time with family. Finances may ebb and flow, so avoid splurging on unnecessary items. If single, look your best, and you will attract the person of your dreams. If attached, take a well-deserved break and pencil in a vacation. Cancer provides warmth. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. Aries, March 21st through April 19th. 4 stars. Contact a family member who may be too proud to ask for help. Approach the situation gently. An offer to work more from home may become available. Adjust your schedule and go after it. Tonight, step up your exercise routine. Taurus, April 20th through May 20th, 3 stars. Show neighbors the welcome mat. Exchange ideas around the kitchen table and get to know each other better. New friendships can emerge. Siblings may be more available than usual, so take advantage of their generosity. Tonight, binge on a new series. Gemini, May 21st through June 20th, 4 stars. Treat yourself to a new device, but don't go overboard. You may be fooled into thinking you may have more spare cash on hand. Explore economical ways to buy what you need. Leave credit cards at home. Tonight, time for romance. Cancer, June 21st through July 22nd, 4 stars. Stay away from people who stir up mixed emotions and unpleasant memories. Be proud of your accomplishments. This is not the time for modesty. Someone may treat you to a meal out for being such a good friend. Tonight, speak from your heart. Leo, July 23rd through August 22nd, 3 stars. Your energy may be down even though you put on a good show. You might want to slow down and smell the roses, at least for today. Watch a film with someone who shares your sense of humor. Tonight, hot bath. Virgo, August 23rd through September 22nd, 4 stars. A friend may invite you to a get-together. Bring along your business card and be sure to mingle. This may be the perfect opportunity to network with potential contacts. Be confident, but not too brash. Tonight, catch up on reading. Libra, September 23rd through October 22nd, 3 stars. Someone may ask you for pointers on how to problem solve. Be firm and truthful, yet sensitive and caring. You will have a positive impact. Interest in helping someone may lead to a fulfilling new direction. Tonight, prepare a presentation. Scorpio, October 23rd through November 21st, 4 stars. Opportunities to travel for work and pleasure may arise. Don't pass up a lucrative offer until you know the entire picture. Sign up for a class or lecture with a friend. A study buddy makes learning fun. Tonight, home shopping. Sagittarius, November 22nd through December 21st, 3 stars. Impress someone influential with your astute research skills. Arrive at a solution that will satisfy everyone. You may get a financial offer that sounds tempting. Weigh it carefully, since things may not be what they seem. Tonight, cuddle up close. Capricorn, December 22nd through January 19th, 4 stars. Have a heart-to-heart with someone special. Talk about a sticky issue you have avoided. Getting it off your chest will be easier than you think. A friend may text or email a catchy joke or appreciative words. Tonight, unconditional love. Aquarius, January 20th through February 18th, 3 stars. An authority figure may be critical of your work. Take it in stride and never let it get you down. Move ahead at a steady pace with the current project. You will turn the criticism around. Tonight, dinner guests. Pisces, February 19th through March 20th, 5 stars. Excitement awaits you on the romantic front. Participate in a game with friends who know how to lose gracefully. Satisfy your urge to have fun. Challenge yourself with a physical activity you never tried. Tonight, get in tip-top shape.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.